Good morning. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church, and I'm here today to share the Word of God with you, and I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I'll be speaking to you today on the subject of conversion. We'll find our text in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and then in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 18, verses 1 through 3. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and reading on through verse 10, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were ensamples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And thus, we have our text that we want to use today and to discuss the subject of conversion. Well, we need to make a few introductory remarks. First of all, conversion itself. Let me define conversion in just a very brief and simple definition. Conversion is a change of heart or disposition in which the enmity of the heart to God and His law and the obstinacy of the will are subdued, and are succeeded by supreme love to God and His moral government and a reforming of the life. Well, we read from the book of 1 Thessalonians, of course, and we see that that was a genuine conversion, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, the Lord said, except you be converted, become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that would, of course, indicate a turning around, a reversal, a turning again, or a turning back again, self about. And thus we get at least some sense of this word, conversion, as we'll be using it in the message today. And I want to deal with that subject here on this broadcast, and I trust be a help to you. Now, the Bible teaches that conversion is a must, except a man be converted and become as a little child. He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it is a must in our lives unless we die without Jesus Christ and go to hell. Now, the truth of the matter is, as we think about it being a must, none are exempt. Now, we understand that Jesus Christ Himself was distinct and different than other men. If you don't believe that, then you have not even begun to approach the subject of conversion, nor have you studied anything about the person of Jesus Christ. For to know of Jesus Christ and to know Jesus Christ is to know that he is literally God in the flesh, that by way of the virgin's womb, that God himself would robe himself in the flesh of a man and walk among men. So there are none that are exempt, other than, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who needed no conversion because he could honestly say, I do always those things that please him, speaking of the Father. Now, there must be in our lives then a turning from death to life. And that means that we turn from ourselves and from our sin to none other than Jesus Christ, who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is a must that we turn from darkness to light. Unless we walk in the darkness and stumble, we need to walk in the light. Now, let me give you some thoughts with regard to conversion. Our Lord said it is a must, and he explained that it was like the little child who would put genuine faith and trust in the one that was addressing them. But the preaching that precedes conversion, what is there in this preaching? Now, there are folks that will give a, and I put it in quotes, a message as we think about conversion. There are folks that will bring a message, but it is not a message that either produces conversion nor is intended to produce conversion, because some do not believe that a person needs to be converted, that rather they believe that a man is capable in and of himself just to do enough good works to be accepted in the sight of God. But first of all, we'll notice that Paul was thankful for them. In verse 2, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now, he preached to them, and he was thankful for them. And the reason he was thankful for them, he remembered their conversion, that there was a turning in their lives, that literally there was animosity and enmity. And you can read in the book of Acts of Paul's entrance into Thessalonica, and you'll find out that he was opposed, and rather he went on from there over to Berea, where they were more noble, and they searched the scriptures to see if the things that he said were true. And they were true, what he was telling these folks in Thessalonica. But ultimately, in the finality of it, there was the entrance of the gospel into the hearts and lives of a number of folks in Thessalonica, and the Bible said they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And Paul is very thankful for them, because as he preached, they were converted. He remembers their conversion. He remembers how that he came among them and remembers what the gospel that he brought to them produced in them. Now, election is seen in their performance. He points out that in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Well, how would Paul know that they were the elect of God or the chosen of God? And that's what the word conversion or the word election means, is that they are chosen of God. Now, there might be some debate as to on what basis God made that choice, but we'll leave that with God in between him and you today for the sake of the message that we're bringing. But the election, the turning, the conversion is seen in their performance. And we're told that they turned to God to serve the living and the true God. He points out in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. They preached the gospel to Thessalonica, and this produced conversion. Now, they did not just preach it in word. Do you realize today that there's a great deal of orthodoxy out here, that a lot of churches are relatively sound in their doctrine, their orthodoxy, but they absolutely know nothing of God's grace because they have not cast themselves upon the Word of God to believe the Word of God and trust Jesus Christ, who literally went to the cross of Calvary to die in the place of sinners. And Paul said, our gospel didn't just come to you in word only. In other words, he did not just have a message, but he had a message that brought forth conversion and proved to be successful in their behalf and in their lives. So we need to be careful about preaching the gospel today, in this sense that we need to preach it as it is, the very truth of God, the very Word of God, and not mince words about it, but rather just to declare it as it is, the very instrument of God to the salvation of the soul. Good news that Jesus Christ has come into this world and paid the price, the awful price for sin, that salvation might be free to us today, and we might bask in the very presence of God one day. But he said our gospel did not come to you just in word. In other words, it was just not just a message. Our words articulated, and the folks listening were not just hearing words that they might appreciate or they might not appreciate, but rather they were effectual in their behalf, and it produced fruit in their lives. But he said it was not just in word, but in power. Now, I am persuaded that there are some differences here in what is said. I realize that many times that the same thing or something close to the same thing is said for an emphasis, and there would seem to be an emphasis here, but also there is just a distinction between the power of God and the Holy Ghost, and that's what he said. The gospel that we preached came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Certainly there was a power. Now I'm persuaded that this is the power that's upon the ministry of the man of God, that as a preacher of the gospel, I must have the accompanying power of the presence of God and His precious Word in my life as I preach, so that it will be effectual in the lives of others. And so we see then that this is the working in behalf of the Thessalonians in Paul and Silas's lives and what God had done for them, but was in power. They were enabled and able to declare the gospel. And it came in the Holy Ghost. Now this moves from the pulpit down to the pew as the man of God preaches. And the Holy Spirit of God Himself moves among the congregation and isolates that soul and points out to them their great need of salvation, real Bible conversion, and they're turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And the Bible said in much assurance, this gospel that came to the folks of Thessalonica didn't just come in word, it didn't come but it did come in power and in the Holy Ghost. And then as they were converted, they were much assured that they were children of God and that the enmity that had been between themselves and God, or their heart and God, now is literally banished, and that produces fruit in their lives. So we must say that the preaching that precedes conversion is the preaching of the gospel. Now, what did the Thessalonians demonstrate in their conversion? Well, they were converted from something and they were converted to something. First of all, they were converted from idols. How you turn to God from idols, Paul said, to this group in Thessalonica. Now, certainly we'd have to believe that since Thessalonica was a city that would basically be called a Greek city, even though the Romans were in power at this particular time, the Greek culture The Greek language very well may have been prevalent in this city, and certainly the Greek gods were plentiful in the city of Thessalonica. And their lives, the lives of the folks in Thessalonica, revolved around idols. That's what the religion of the Greek folks was in Paul's day. It was nothing but a revolving around idol worship. If you were to go down the main street of Thessalonica, as it was in Paul's day, you'd see temple after temple after temple built and dedicated to a god that could not move, that could not walk, could not talk, could not respond, and could do absolutely nothing for the worshipers that would come and bow before that particular idol. So the Bible teaches that they were converted from idols, even though their lives up until this point revolved around idols. They at one time trusted the idols, but now they've been turned from that trust in their idols to the living and the true God. They sacrificed to and they worshipped these idols, but they were converted then from the idols, and then they were converted to God. Now, that meant that they had to turn from the idols. You cannot obey two masters. You cannot be in harmony with God and have the thought of the things of this world and then just throw God in as an extra. But they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned from the idols. They turned to God, and they turned to serve the living and true God. Now, the Bible teaches that their faith to Godward was spread abroad. In this particular chapter 1 of the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find out that there were a lot of folks that were turned to serve the living and the true God. They turned to God from idols. He points out, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, so that we were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, it had a broad reaching effect upon people because Paul and Silas went here and preached the gospel, and many were converted and literally saved by the grace of God. But they were converted to God. They were converted from idols. They were turned from those idols. They were turned from that which was condemning their souls. And they have been turned to the very source of life, none other than Jesus Christ. And then their faith to God would spread abroad, as we pointed out here. It is a work of faith, and it's a labor of love, according to the Word of God. We certainly understand that if we really converted, that it is a work of faith. We must embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And then there is a labor of love, or a desire for the things of God. You became followers of us and of the Lord, Paul said. And that they did. They turned to serve the living and the true God. Their faith to Godward was spread abroad. It sounded out the word of the Lord in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. The word, Paul said, there's just not anything else to say about it. You've been turned to God from idols. You've been converted. And you've been turned from those idols, you've been turned to God, and you were turned to the living God to serve the living and the true God. And thus, we see that the Thessalonians demonstrated conversion in their lives, honestly, by their works. There was, of course, the work of faith, and then the labor of love. The third point I want to make today, the basis of their conversion, these folks of Thessalonica. First of all, they heard the gospel. And that's just simply the good news. of the truth of Jesus Christ coming into this world. They heard the good news of conversion in that they understood and received the message that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible said then that Christ was buried. Not only did he die for sinners, but he carried sin far away from the sinner. And Christ was raised again for our justification. And we see then that there is a basis of conversion, which is absolute unadulterated faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they found their hope in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. We're told in the book of Acts chapter 4 that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're looking anywhere else, you're trusting anything else other than Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, I'll guarantee you, you're lost and you're dead in trespasses and in sin, and you're without hope and without God in this world, because as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been converted to the very Son of God, because there is just no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then I want to come to point four. What will conversion do? What will conversion do for you and for me? Now, we could speak of it in the abstract sense so that it's away from us. But what's it doing for us? What does it do for us? Well, the first thing it'll do, it'll turn you around. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in response to his disciples when they came, and they asked about this matter of salvation, and who was greatest in the kingdom of heaven, that he said to them, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And thus, we can be assured in our hearts that it will turn you around. It will produce in you literally life itself. It'll turn you around from the direction you're going. The Apostle Paul, preaching on the day of Pentecost, said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That word untoward means that there were folks going in a totally opposite direction than they needed to be going, and real conversion will turn them around. And it did turn them around in Thessalonica and wherever else that this gospel has been preached. There has been a turning to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. So what will conversion do? First of all, it will turn you around. Secondly, it would give you real hope. Now, many today have hope, as they would define it, and it has been declared to them that they have a hope, but the truth of the matter is there's a real hope, and that real hope is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. There is no hope outside of Him. There is no confidence, no assurance to the soul outside of Jesus Christ. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. It'll give you real hope today. And then it will assure you before God. Now, this is different than just being assured in the sense that you're assured before God, that God Himself has done the work, and to every soul that will trust the finished work of Jesus Christ will be accepted in the sight of God. It will assure you before God. It'll give you real hope. It'll turn you around. It'll bring you to that place that you now want to serve that God whom you did not love before. John said in his gospel, if you love me, keep my commandments. What he's saying is, if you've been converted to me, then you ought to be doing what I'm saying needs to be done. And we know, of course, that that is true and that we can serve the living and true God today because of His Son, Jesus Christ. It will assure you before God. It'll give you a confidence and a boldness to be able to step forward and say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. All today, I question, have you been converted? Is there that experience in your life where you know that you passed from death unto life? For Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you don't know Christ, you don't know God, you're not acceptable apart from Jesus Christ. Real conversion. Jesus said, except a man be converted and become as a little child, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I might just elaborate just this last part of a moment on this particular thought of trusting Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can be assured that you're accepted in the Beloved. John said, these things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can know today. You can be assured in your heart and your life that you have passed from death unto life. Well, it's been good to be with you today, and may the Lord bless you.